We're going to call upon Mrs. Lear this morning and ask her if she would be so kind as to open us with a vigorous and rousing prayer this morning and take us to the throne of grace.
Well, Father God, we turn our hearts and our minds to you and just push out the busyness of our everyday lives and focus today our attention on you. Holy Spirit, we're here to be instructed, to learn, to receive. And I pray that we would indeed do that. We look out the windows here in New England. We're looking at a beautiful winter day, bright blue skies and a fresh blanket of snow. And it's just breathtaking. It's your canvas of nature, the one that you've blessed us with time and time and time again and will for time to come. We're thankful for that, Lord, and just appreciate this opportunity today to gather together to worship you, to praise you as only you deserve. We thank you, Jesus, in your name. Amen.
Amen. And now we are glad to lift up our voices to the Lord. I know that lots of people probably were not able to make it out to church services today in their, if you'll pardon the expression, the usual brick and mortar church, you might say, because of the weather. And some churches actually canceled because of the weather. And hopefully, we're certainly praying that the people who were not able to attend services on this, the Lord's Day, on this Sunday, that they would do so at home with their family. Most people don't even realize that the early church started in homes. And of course, a lot of people don't realize that when you have a family, let's say you've got a family of four, you've got a congregation of four people. And of course, we're expecting that the Holy Spirit will visit even that congregation of four or two or ten or however big your family is or whoever gathers there even in your home, because the Holy Spirit is with us when we call upon Him, and He will be with us. So remember that as we sing this morning. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for He has made me glad. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. Let's sing that again. I will call upon you, Lord, for you are worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. My Lord, you liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. My Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. Hear that, America. And the God we're calling upon is not Allah, is not Confucius, is not Zoroaster. The God we're calling on goes by the name of great God Jehovah, Jesus Christ, Emmanuel. That's who we're calling on, and America needs to call on the whole world. Okay, did you know that the UN Yeah, the United Nations. Somebody stood up and said, we need to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What do you think happened? Well, it didn't happen, but I hope that it would. I wish I was the guy that could do it. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul panteth after thee. You, O Lord, are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You, O Lord, are my strength, my shield. To you, O Lord, does my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength and shield. To you, O Lord, does my spirit yield. Stop and think about that for a moment. To you alone does my spirit yield. All those tyrants out there, whatever they call themselves. To you, O Lord, does my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you, and I will worship you, and I always will worship you, whether they like it or they don't, whether people want to let me or they won't, whether I'm behind bars or I'm not, and whatever I'm doing, I will worship you. Yeah. And you know why we worship him? Because we love him. But he loved us first. And he's a holy God. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. Early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, O God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Holy, 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 all the saints adore thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. Cherubims and seraphims falling down before thee, who wert and art and evermore shall be. Holy, 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 though the darkness hide thee, though the eye of sinful man thy glory may not see, only thou art holy, there is none beside thee, perfect in power, in love and purity. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Oh, your God in three persons, blessed Trinity. I know there are people out there that call themselves Universalists, Unitarians, and so forth and so on, all other kind of names. But I do believe that God is three persons, the Holy Trinity. We're Trinitarian Christians. And there are people out there who want to denigrate the idea of the Trinity. But the idea of the Trinity is biblical. It's in the Bible. And so it's very important for us to recognize that. And I want to sing another song that is sort of unexpected, by the way, folks. You know, when you're praising the Lord, don't be surprised that the Lord may come upon you other than the, but we scheduled in the song service to sing these songs or these hymns. These are the ones that we have the slides for. These are the ones we posted. Well, folks, how about just having one come from your heart like, oh, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. When you lift your voice unto the Lord, it is a sweet sound in the Lord's ears. And when you lift your voice unto the Lord, your spirit will soar. And the things that have been gloomy, and the things that have been doomy, and the darkness that's come upon you will run away, would break open. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, I often share with you from Technocracy Today, because Technocracy Today has a good handle, if you will, on things that are happening that most people aren't paying attention to. And by the way, folks, nobody's too poor to pay attention. Arizona State University promotes regionalism for smart city tech. Now, does that sound good to you? Well, it shouldn't. Regional governance is the arch enemy and destroyer of a Republican form of government as guaranteed to the states by the U.S. Constitution. ASU started the Smart Region Initiative that will impose smart city policies throughout the region. The president of Arizona State University, Dr. Michael Crow, is also a chairman of the board of trustees of the CIA's private venture capital firm, InQtel. SRI is essentially modeled after InQtel to provide tech incubators and sandboxes, advance experimental smart city technology and policies throughout the Phoenix region. SRI is also partners with Maricopa Association of Governments to help impose its policies upon 22 cities and 4.2 million people while bypassing duly elected city councils. To say that SRI is a swarm of unelected and unaccountable technocrats is an understatement. Furthermore, SRI is attracting other technocrat companies from all over the world. And it's interesting, too, because I've seen that a paper mill in Maine was put up for sale and people coming from China and other parts of the world to buy that paper mill. And so it's interesting how our country is being invaded, not just by illegal aliens and cross border crossings and so forth and so on, by business technocrats from all over the world trying to take over American businesses and turn them which way, you can imagine which way they're trying to turn them. Well, today, in my quips and quotes, I had always hoped that the younger generation receiving their early impressions after the flame of liberty had been kindled in every breast, would have sympathized with oppression wherever found, and provided and proved their love of liberty beyond their own share of it. Thomas Jefferson, 1814. You probably heard of Dennis Prager. Well, Prager and Carolla pointed out that we must guard, treasure, and fight for free speech. I stand with both men and every woman who stands for free speech in America. And free speech is not free. Just like freedom is really not free. Liberty is not free. When we think about, oh, they're giving out free food. No, it's not free. Somebody paid for it. And by the way, most free food, as every fish who gets caught on a hook with a worm on it, finds out that that free food had a hook and a barb in it. Born in other countries, yet believing you could be happy in this, our laws acknowledge, as they should do, your right to join us in society, conforming, as I doubt not you will do, to our established rules. Thomas Jefferson, 1801. So today, when we expect that people want to migrate here, not illegally, but legal immigrants, that they should abide by our rules and are conform to our society, instead the leftists trying to tell us that we have to conform to these people that are coming into the country. Well, I'm not going to do it. I've mentioned in times past, I think it was last year, the Meditations of Marcus Aurelius. I don't often quote other than biblical sources or American history sources and whatever, but occasionally I do, and I've read the book. Meditations of Marcus Aurelius is a very good thing to read. Marcus thought that if people are doing wrong, what you need to do instead is to teach them, then, and show them without being angry. Mm-hmm. And that's very important. Faulty premises will produce faulty results and output. We see that day after day in our country right now. A familiar phrase as consolation. You either win or you lose. Do you know what oikophilia is? I have oikophilia. It's love of home. Therefore, quintessentially conservative. I have a love of my home, the house I live in, my home that I live in, and of course my state that I live in, town that I live in, the country I live in. I have that serious problem of oikophilia, the love of home. And I am, yes, quintessentially conservative. We should do only what we would to be prepared for everyone else to have to do. Let me read that again. We should do only what we would be prepared for everyone else to have to do. There's a lot of people out there pointing the finger at others saying they should do this and do that. Well, that goes on a country, a town, a people. You're pointing the finger at other people, telling them what they're supposed to do. Well, you ought to also expect to be doing that yourself before you're expecting others to do it. And by the way, just because others do right or wrong doesn't mean that's going to make you do right or wrong. That's the whole idea of having the Lord in your heart and following the Lord no matter what. If we move in mass, be it ever so circuitously, we shall attain our object. But if we break into squads, everyone pursuing the path he thinks most direct, we become an easy conquest to those who can now barely hold us in check. Thomas Jefferson, 1811. I keep saying, this guy really knew what he was talking about. How was he so smart? Why is it that most American men, Christ lovers included, care so little about how this nation is being ravaged by the forces of darkness? What will it take to get them out of the pews and into the game? Why do they seem to care so little about what matters the most? The future lives of their children and grandchildren. That's what really matters most. As the old saying goes, sunlight is the best disinfectant. The opposite is true. Bad practices thrive in darkness. So many times we are not allowed to see things or hear things because bad practices thrive in darkness. In his 1971 book, Rules for Radicals, on conducting Marxist warfare against Judeo-Christian civilization, Saul Alinsky wrote that in war, the end justifies almost any means. as on page 44, by the way. And in his section on tactics, taught that ridicule is man's most potent weapon. It's almost impossible to counterattack. That's on page 132. Today, I firmly claim the promise and testify to its truthfulness that no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and you will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the Lord's servants, and their vindication is from me, declares the Lord. Oh, is that your opinion, Garrett? No, actually, I've just read from Isaiah 54:17. It is proper you should understand what I deem the essential principles of our government. Equal and exact justice to all men, of whatever persuasion, religious or political, Thomas Jefferson, 1801. Now here's a phrase you can be inspired by. That there are a few people out there that are refreshingly sane in the midst of so many insane people. And not everyone that's insane is in an insane asylum, and not everyone that's insane is in a psychiatric hospital. I think there are a lot of insane people that are in the Congress of the United States of America and the legislature of different states. And so when somebody who speaks up and does what is right, that's refreshingly sane, because doing the right thing is a sane thing to do. The Constitution of the United States makes no reference to group rights. Did you know that? The first questions that Christian people committed to honoring God, upholding the U.S. Constitution, and maintaining the rule of law must always ask are, number one, what does the Word of God say? Number two, what does the U.S. Constitution say? Number three, what will limit the power of government and maximize liberty? To fail to ask these three questions is to throw ourselves open to godlessness, lawlessness, and tyranny. People are asking all the time when I post on Facebook, well, why is this happening to us? And I keep explaining it over and over again. Because we're open to godlessness, lawlessness, and tyranny because we don't ask these three questions. What does the Word of God say? What does the U.S. Constitution say? What will limit the power of government and maximize liberty? If we the people do not hold our presidents accountable to our congressional representatives and their constitutional duty to declare war and grant letters of marque and reprisal, then we have abandoned the Republic and its Constitution, replacing them instead with an elective imperial executive. And folks, I don't care whether you're talking about Barack Obama, Donald Trump, and yes, I voted for Donald Trump and I probably would vote for him again. Or you're talking about Bush 1 and Bush 2 or Bill Clinton or Ronald Reagan or whatever. I do not want an imperial executive branch. That's not how our country was founded. I don't want it. If we could have had one and wanted one, we could have had one right from the get-go with George Washington, who people wanted to make him King George of America. And I'm not joking when I tell you that. Education has become a battleground, and reviving a proper understanding of American history and government, especially among younger Americans, is an urgent priority. Hello. In my quips and quotes, I put that in bold face type. Urgent priority, folks. You know, when you get email that says, open right away. Or you've got to, I get things in the mail saying, pay this bill right away. And it comes to find out, it isn't even a bill that I owe. It's just a fraud. And a lot of frauds out there. But urgent priority. Education has become a battleground. It has for a long time, because when you get a hold of the children from day one of their lives and pump them with propaganda and pump them with anti-Americanism, communism, Marxism, all this other stuff that's out there, then you've got them for a lifetime, and it's pretty hard to turn them around, and only Jesus can do it through the miraculous intervention of the Lord. And in my final quip and quote here, I want to read from 1745 colonial missionary to the American Indians, David Brainerd, died very young in life, died of tuberculosis or something while serving, reaching the Indian population in mostly in the Massachusetts, what later became Massachusetts. Oh, how comfortable and sweet it is to feel the assistance of divine grace in the performance of the duties which God has enjoined on us. Mm-hmm. Now, let me read that again. You want to think about this because I had to really give it some thought. Oh, how comfortable and sweet it is to feel the assistance of divine grace in the performance of the duties which God has enjoined on us. Now, I know that's 17th century or 18th century English enjoined upon us. Okay, the things that the Lord expects from us to do, He doesn't expect us to do it in our own strength. He doesn't expect us to do it in our own power. He expects us to do it in the power and grace, the divine grace. So, don't be afraid of performing the things the Lord has called you to do. He's going to provide you divine grace to do it. And now if you'll take your Bibles in hands, I mean, maybe you can hold your Bible in one hand, so you don't need to take it in both hands. And I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And when you have that, you can see the 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Did you know that 1 Corinthians chapter 1 is the beginning of 1 Corinthians? Wow! What page is that? Actually, it's on page 1564. Okay, the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, which has in it 31 verses. Today, the two people elected to read are going to be Garrett Lear and Kathy Lear. So I'm going to read the first 16 verses, and Mrs. Lear will read the last 15 verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, reading from the English Standard Version. Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God, this is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in Him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift, as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you, my brothers. What I mean is that each one of you says, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that none of you may say that you were baptized in my name. I did not baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I meant to say I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do know whether I baptize anyone else. I've just read verses 1 through 16, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, English Standard Version.
And I'm also reading from the English Standard Version, continuing in the chapter at verse 17. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has God not made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful, and not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So that as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. That was 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 17 through 31 from the English Standard Version.
Well, praise the Lord for the reading of his word. And folks, Garrett Lear is your preacher today, but the Holy Spirit is your teacher. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. I want to draw your attention to a question. Who are the saints? Now, knowing how most Americans are, and even American Christians, you're going to say, oh, the Saints, they're a football team in New Orleans. And I'd say, well, can you name the Saints? And some people would start, you know, saying, oh, there's this one is the quarterback, and this one's the fullback, and this one's the center, and this is, a, you know, they name all the players, because Americans, and even Christian American men, American Christian men, know more about football than they know about Christ in the Bible. That shouldn't be. Okay, I probably lost about half of my listening audience about now by saying that, but I'm just telling you the truth as I see it, as I believe it. And like I said, the Holy Spirit is your teacher. I'm just preaching it, and I'm reading from Scripture. And of course, if I asked the question to some group of people, who are the saints? And they'd say, well, Saint Bernadette, Saint Teresa of Avila, Saint Joan of Arc, Saint Francis of Assisi, St. Augustine of Florida. Oh, no, that's not right. No, St. Augustine, he wasn't from Florida. He was from Italy. Okay, so, I mean, they could start naming saints like that. But the truth of the matter is that really does a great disservice to what the Lord is trying to get across to all of us who are Christians. In the certain denominations, they beify or deify, in a sense, or glorify, or however you want to put it, certain people who have had exemplary lives. And then they say they have been given the title of saint. And it's kind of interesting because many of the people giving the title of saint to others aren't very saintly themselves. And so the truth of the matter is, who are the saints? And if I was to go around the congregation, go around a number of congregations and say, okay, is a questionnaire I want you to fill out. Who are the saints? We see how many people could answer that question biblically. Well, hopefully you this morning will have the answer because you've just read it with us. If you look at the first part of the chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and our brother Sosthenes. Called by the will of God to be an apostle, okay? Now, you may not be called of God to be an apostle, and certainly the apostle, the age of the apostles, the Lord's not calling more apostles the way he did those apostles. I think he still calls apostles to do apostolic work, but not in writing scripture and things of that nature. But that's something else we'll discuss another time. To the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus. We've talked about sanctification. We're not going to get into it much more today. But sanctified means set aside. You know, it's just the same as, okay, if we use the sports metaphors that so many people like, you have a game ball. You don't use the game ball in practice, because that game ball, or balls, as the case may be, are set aside for a game. Well, in a sense, we've been sanctified for use in this game of life by the Lord Jesus Christ. Called to be what? Are your ears open and your heart is open and your eyes are open? Called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Okay, so here's the identification. Who are saints? And I suppose we'd have to say all Christians are saints, not just the ones that some hierarchy determined, gee, they really did a great job and they really lived life. What about the common everyday person who's a Christian who goes to work, stands up for Christ in whatever way? They're a saint too. Because all of us are saints if in fact that, and we, the brotherhood and the family of God, and of course the word in Greek is adelphoi, where you get Philadelphia from that, and Adelphoi, which actually means siblings. But in this particular case, it means siblings that are not siblings because of blood or genetically siblings. It's spiritual siblings, our brothers and sisters in Christ. And of course, many denominations used to, they don't so much anymore, call each other brother and sister and so forth and so on, because they didn't actually call their own brothers and sisters genetically, you know, oh, that brother Jack, would you come over here, please? They'd just say, Jack, come over here. But many of them in Christian fellowship would say, brother Jack. because emphasizing what Scripture says. And there are people at various times in our country and in the world that actually had what I would call God talk, Bible talk. And I don't hear much of it anymore. I tried to do it myself, regardless of who I'm talking to, where I'm talking to, when I'll say things like, well, you know, that comes from the Bible. Oh, yeah, that's biblical truth. I said to a psychiatric doctor recently, I said, actually, merry heart doeth good like a medicine. That's in the Bible. Now, this person was a dead airspace after I said that, like, okay, we don't talk about that. Psychiatrists don't talk about that. Well, you're going to talk about it if you talk to me about something and you're asking my advice about something. This is what you're going to hear. God talk. Bible talk. The world needs more God talk. The world needs more Bible talk. And of course, the world needs more saints. Not the, just the ones that are being put there because somebody made an edict saying, okay, this one, we've checked her out, him out, and he's going to be a saint. No, the everyday saints, the everyday Christians, in every walk of life, in every place of life, and so forth, doing God talk, God speak, and so forth and so on. And what is promised to the saints of God in general? Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the promise. Saints, you have this promise that can never be broken. And as I read one of the Crypts and Quotes about David Brainerd, who died very young in his life, like I said, he understood that. That you go out and do what you're called to do. Be the saint of God you're supposed to be. And you will be provided by divine grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the federal government may take away your money. Tyrants may take away your freedom. But nobody can take away the grace and peace that the Lord Jesus Christ has given you. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as his testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. He is the one who makes you a saint. Not a church organization. Not a good suit that you put on Sunday. He. And it's interesting that the repetition through the chapter of God is faithful by whom you were called. Would you like to have a friend that is totally faithful? Well, by the way, if you're a saint of God, you should be totally faithful as much as you possibly can be. I recognize all of us have shortcomings and whatever, but as a saint of God, one of the things about a saint of God is faithfulness and honesty and truth and a whole lot of list of virtues. And of course, we don't want to talk about those virtues anymore because they seem to be in very short supply. But they're not short supply in the gifts of God. He's got plenty of them. He can give all that are needed, those that recognize they have a calling. It's also interesting that the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Wow, that guy's really wise. He's really discerning. Well, the Lord says that he'll thwart that. In other words, he'll get rid of that. Because your worldly wisdom And your worldly discernment is not what he wants. He wants the discernment, and he wants the wisdom of the truly wise, those sanctified saints of God, set aside for his use. And so, okay, my name's God. I've created billions of people, but I only set aside a handful to serve me. That's not the way it is. And of course, hello, I'm an American citizen, born and raised in this country, 400 years of ancestry. I don't care about this country, and I'm not going to serve this country in any way. Find somebody else. And that's the way a lot of people are acting towards their relationship with the Lord. It's not me, Lord. I'm not the one. And maybe you've heard the Holy Spirit say to you, as he said to me, why not you? What's your reason to say no? Now, I understand you might have to say no. You can't get on a boat and go 1,000 miles across the ocean. You can't get an airplane or whatever else, but are you saying no in your daily life to being a saint of God? And so I ask the question, who are the saints? You tell me. You answer that question for yourself. Ask yourself the question, who are the saints? And if I have a show of hands for people who really understand what the Word of God says and are complying, if you will, in complete compliance with God's will. Now, we're expected by the U.S. Census and the government of the United States and the governor of Virginia that's imposing all this stuff, 100% compliance. You will comply, or you will die, or you'll lose your property, or you'll lose your freedom. But the Lord doesn't force anybody into compliance. You voluntarily comply. And so if I had a show of hands anywhere, okay, the stadium is filled with Christians here. I want a show of hands of how many of you are willing to 100% comply with the requirements of being a saint of God. How many hands would go up then? If I said, by the show of hands, how many of you want free tickets to football games for the rest of your life? How many of you want free cars for the rest of your life? Or I saw a thing, an ad saying free chicken wings for the rest of your life. Or some gas company says free gas for a year. Lots of hands would go up for that. Well, why don't more hands go up to, I want to be a saint of God for the rest of my life, every single day. I will comply. And when you know the compliance is not difficult in the sense your willingness is your complying, and God will provide what you need for that, because as the Word of God says, and I can definitely say is true, God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And of course, as the chapter closes, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. I hear lots of boasting by a lot of people of all the things they've done. And they accomplished this and they accomplished that and so forth and so on. And they made this and they made that. How about if you said, by the grace of God go I? Good God talk. Or good Bible talk, or said, you know, I wouldn't have been able to do any of those things except the Lord provided me. I told Kathy the other day, I was talking about a remembrance of a couple of people that I knew a long time ago who were atheists, and they thought I had accomplished quite a lot of things, and they were commending me for it, and I kept saying, well, by the grace of God, the Lord helped me. And the fellow's name is Robert. Robert said to me, stop doing that. Stop saying that. It was you that did it. I said, Robert, I appreciate you trying to pay me a compliment, but I can't take it. Because the truth of the matter is, if it weren't for the Lord, I wouldn't have had that strength, that intelligence, or that ability, or that determination, or any of the good things that you seem to think I have. I wouldn't have it naturally. I had it because of the grace of God. And a lot of people don't realize The Lord is the one dispensing those talents that you take credit for, you know, and other things like that. We could go on and on about thinking about it. And I hope you will, because as I said, the Holy Spirit is your teacher. I'm just the preacher here today. Who are the saints? And I would hope, even in the face of the executioner, whether it be ISIS, communist, Marxist, or whatever the remark that was made by a staffer on Bernie Sanders' campaign, that all right-wing conservatives and so forth and so on should be rounded up and put in the gulag, which is the same as saying we'd make a better country if we were Marxist socialists and we eliminated people like Garrett Lear. I can take that personally. They'd be glad to see me in the gulag. Well, maybe I might end up in the gulag and they might take my life, but they're not going to get me to give up being a saint of God. I didn't make myself a saint. I didn't save myself. I've trusted in Jesus. Let's pray. Trust in Jesus. There's no other way. Revival comes to every man, every woman, every person, every country, when there's true trust in Jesus. Help us, Lord, in everyday life to do God talk, Bible talk, Christian talk, and know more. Every Christian know more about, I may not know who's in the Super Bowl, I may not know who's in the World Series, but I sure know what 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says about the saints of God. And how do I know? Because I am one. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Glory to God.